Esther Paul, as you are running for re-election as Ward 7 podcast. City Councilor. Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast.
I'm so happy to be here, Joey.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've lived in Hamilton now for almost 50 years. I have four sons. I've been married almost 48 years, and I've done a lot in my life. I owned a business. I've also worked for the Royal Bank. I have my Rebo license. I went to MAC to learn about communication. That was incredible. The Royal Bank sent me to MAC to learn communication with people. So I enjoyed that very much. And I've done lots in my life. Yeah, that's a little bit about myself. Four sons who I'm proud of. And they all are successful. And for that, I thank God for.
Why are you running?
Okay, why am I running? Well, I was asked that 4 years ago, and I said, because I want to make a difference. I love people. I love serving. If anybody knows me, I love helping charities. I always try to do fundraisers for them. And I really care for people. So why am I rerunning? Because now that I know how to navigate many things in the city, I'd like to have a good second term so I could improve and do much more for my community.
Do you live in Ward 7, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
I think it does matter. I think you should know your community, but I want to give some grace to people that live right on the border. They probably would know the ward, but I think you should live on the ward, you should know the community, and you should know the residents that live in your ward. So it's important, yes.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
Well, the one thing I have, and I could truly say, people have called me for certain concerns that they have. I actually would go to the house, sit down with them, actually have a cup of coffee with them and try to figure out how to help them. I have many people that through COVID went through a lot. And I remember talking to so many of them, telling them to take courage, that things will get better. So just encouraging people, just listening to them has been my greatest reward, listening and trying to help them.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 7 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
Two. One, and I've started that, is that all my parks in Ward 7 are updated, and not only updated, but beautified, where people would go there and look at it and say, hey, this is like a mini vacation. I bring my whole family to this beautiful park with new splash pad, with new equipment, and enjoy. That's one. Also, I want to make sure the streets are safe. I know in Ward 7, we have major near the mall, Upper Wentworth, and I go there a lot. There's a big park called McQuesten Park, and we just had a big festival. I mean, it was 3,000 people plus. And just the walking on Upper Wentworth with the link, it's so dangerous. So I did a review of all my Ward 7. Where are the problems in traffic and in safety? Citywide is, believe it or not, I want to make sure that the city understands how we do our taxes. A lot of people are calling me, what about next year? Is it going to be 6-7% increase, I heard? So my priority is to make sure that people understand how the taxes work. We have capital, we have operation, how it works, and to service every single person in the city of Hamilton. I think the city of Hamilton's big now. We are, almost 600,000 people. I want to make sure their service in whatever department is, if it's public works, if it's transit, whatever. So that's my goal.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 7 on Hamilton City Council?
The skills. Like I said before, communication is so important. How to communicate with people. You know, Joey, I had people sometimes that don't agree with me, how I voted, and I still call them. Even if they were my ward or not, I still call. So communication, explaining the reason why I would choose that. I've never been afraid. I've never been afraid to talk to people and say, you have the right to think that way. I have the right. And in my understanding, that's why I choose. Second is that I've got lots of energy. I can work all day. I carry my phone with me 24 hours. And I can honestly say when I'm on vacation as well. And my strength is that I want to help people and I want to be there for them when they're concerned. Also, I'm in business. I've been in business all my life. I worked for the Royal Bank for 15 years. I know finance as I work. I had an insurance brokerage. I have my Rebo license. I know all about how the system worked. I had a business in running. I'm an entrepreneur. And I think we need entrepreneurs in Hamilton because we could see how we could invest that in our city. That's my qualities. I love business. I love how to maybe turn a dollar to $2. So I think it's important.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are reelected. You have a new council. During those first few weeks, the new councilors are going to be briefed on current confidential matters. As you will recall, when you were first elected in 2018, you were briefed on confidential matters, including the Coots Paradise cover-up. Initially, all four of the newly elected councillors, you among them, voted for the cover-up before three of the new ones voted against it. You continued to vote to keep it confidential. This is your opportunity to explain your thought process relating to what principles and advice help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public.
Thank you, Joy, for that question. In 2018, it was December, so really, let's say it's 2019. When it sounds like I was there for the whole year. I was there for a month, not even. And when I heard about the sewer, we call it sewer gate or whatever you want to call it, I was shocked. I had no idea that many years prior this was happening, that the city didn't know about the gate. And it was such a new thing for me. But I remember clearly in those moments when we were in camera, which I can't relate, just getting information from a lawyer saying that there's certain things you cannot divulge. And as a new counselor, I thought, well, we got lawyers. We listened to what their suggestion is. I did not want to put more burden on the city if we released every single thing. I know they did release some things, but to me, it was brand new. And I thought as a new counselor that did not know much about what had happened, I had my diligence to listen to the lawyers and the other counselors that were there for a long time. And that's why I chose at that time only, to say, yes, we have to, you know. So, yeah, what principle? Well, if it damages the city and it will cost us millions, and we're talking millions, we're not talking 1 million. I remember even about the Red Hill, they said about judicial and all that, they said, oh, it only cost $1 million. We divulge everything. Now we're at $28 million. And even in that case, the lawyers are saying there's no, you know, you could say transparency. It depends what transparency means to you. If you know the whole facts and there's such things you cannot reveal and you're told over and over again by our legal that you cannot do that, then you got to take attention to that to make sure we don't want to be sued. Now it's 28 million. I wonder how much higher it's going to go, Joy, even with the sewer gate, how much higher it's going to go. And that's what transparency means. We'll tell you what's going on. In everything in life, Joy, there's things that you cannot say. You just can't. And you have to be wise to that. People will tell you, no, that's not being transparent, but it's not true. I believe, me personally, I always want to be transparent, but there are things that I cannot say for certain things. So
the Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
We're going to get a report of what actually happened. And as you know, this happened a long time ago. It was hidden. Nobody knew. You know, it came out the light again when my first month in council. And I want to see all the facts. I want to see what happened. And I want to make sure it doesn't happen again. That staff, anybody that works for the city of Hamilton, if they notice something that's sort of hidden and it doesn't make sense, they don't hide it for so many years. They just bring it up, being honest. And in everything you do, you have to be honest. Like you said at the beginning, Joy, everybody makes mistakes. Everyone. We're not perfect people. And I am not perfect. But I want to tell you, honesty overcomes that. If I make a mistake and I'm honest, people are ready to forgive. People are ready to say to move on. So I'm going to look at what really happened at the end. And you know what? Then I'll make my decision. But to this day, I'll tell you, I do regret in a way going judicial because it's the taxpayers' money. And maybe we could have done it the same way, the other way. But like I said, it was right at the beginning of the year, and I had to learn more about what happened.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
The LRT has been going on for forever too, what, 15 years, I heard. And that was a new thing when I came in as well. First of all, we need to make sure our business on the corridor that are looked after. We want to make sure they don't go under. I was talking to somebody from Kitchener, and they made sure because a lot of people had closed down. So we want to make sure we help them. I know it's going to be done a little bit at a time till it's all done. But we have to be aware of the business because I'll tell you, business are what drives our economy. I want to make sure that the LRT, as it goes on, and infrastructure, I want to make sure people are aware what's going on and they're looked after first and we'll continue to build. I am glad now that we made the decision because the federal and province has helped us. I think it's $3.4 billion that they are giving us. So I'm glad for that, that we could once for all move on after 15 years of debating that I didn't know it was that long.
What is something interesting or unique within Ward 7 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
Because it's the center. I think all the parks, we have the biggest park, McQuesten Park. It's right near Lineberg. So I think that's so unique. Like I said, we had a festival. Over 3,000 people were there. So being the center of the mountain is important.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the type of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. There are two questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its outdated residential zoning bylaws. Zoning bylaws across Ward 7 are decades old and do not conform with the provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law. With outdated zoning, the City of Hamilton is unable to present a principled planning position in front of the Ontario Land Tribunal. The new zoning, if compliant with the policy statement, will return local control over planning. What is your vision for residential zoning and how will you achieve it?
As you know, we need more houses, we need more units, and we are changing the zoning because of that. Because of no urban expansion, we will need more changing in not only my ward, but on the mountain as well. And we will be changing where people will build more high-rises. And that's important, I believe. I know people in my ward, sometimes they want no urban expansion, of course. But when there's a building, a 14-story or even 20-story, they think it over and say, not in my backyard. But we have to address the influx of people coming to Hamilton. So we're going to look at it carefully and we're going to make sure that zoning is in the right location.
Large commercial plazas are converting into mixed-use mid-rise development. Already there are two applications within Ward 7, the former Walmart Plaza at Upper Sherman and Mohawk, and the first phase of the Limeridge Mall redevelopment. There are many similar lands across Ward 7. Presently, there is no city planning policy specific to commercial to mixed-use redevelopment. What is your vision for this type of redevelopment, and how will you achieve that vision?
Yes, we have two big plans. One, the Walmart there on Mohawk and Upper Sherman. And I saw the plans, and it is intensive. The buildings are doing. My vision is, yes, it's good to do that, but we want to make sure it follows. Every dot has to be dotted with the sewers, with mature parks. I think there'll be almost home to 4,000 to 5,000 people in just that square area. So I think it is important, but we also have to look at it, make sure it fits in every category that we have as a city planning, if it fits. The mall is no brainer. You know, Joey, that a lot of people go to the mall now just to walk sometimes. shopping is not as with high interest. And so they have to reimagine themselves. But it's such a big, I don't know if you've been to Limeridge, the parking lot, it's just like all paved. I think it's so great that we could change that and turn that area into condos or apartments. And I know they have one area already figured that they have a plan. I'm interested to see the other side near the Limeridge Mall, near the link, what they could do there. There's lots of land. And to turn that into more grass, more a little parkets, I think it's a dream of mine. And I hope it does happen to both locations.
Road safety is a significant issue in Ward 7, with numerous pedestrian deaths in recent years, which have shocked and saddened the community. What is your plan to address road safety? Please provide three detailed specifics of your plan.
Road safety, like I said at the beginning, is important. My parks, road safety. I called the staff and they're going to do a review of all my streets, especially the major street, which is Upper Wentworth. And I want that done right away. As you know, we had two deaths on Upper Wentworth. One was early in the morning, a bike, and I don't know all the details, but he was a 52-year-old man going to work at Limeridge, and he was going from 53 to go to work. And it's sad. I got a few phone calls from the family, from my friends, and it was sad. And then was a pedestrian as well, walking, and he was young as well. I think he was 42. I think it's distraction. If you go to Upper Wentworth and Upper James is not my ward. The stores, there's advertising, everything is a distraction. And I think that's what's causing distraction of drivers. And I have to admit, even walkers, even people that ride the bike, we're distracted people. We're always looking around, and sometimes I'm not blaming either. I mean, cars have to be the most careful because they have a machine in front of them, a car. I think we all have to take this seriously. Look at the roads. Is it the roads? Is it distraction? Is it the stores where they're located? And make sure we know the reasons, and let's all be careful. Let's all be aware. Even I know a lot of people love listening to music. I see a lot of people walking with their earphones and have music. So we have to be careful on both sides. Cars are the most important thing, that we make sure they're not distracted, that they are careful, because like I say, they got a machine in front of them.
And briefly for listeners, you referenced 53. I presume you're referring to Rymel Road, which
yes,
used to be known as Highway 53. Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading do you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
Very good questions. As you know, I'm in business, so I read a lot of business, not only journal. I read a book. It was so amazing. The 7 things we need to know in business. I read things that interest me quite a bit because I've been in business. But I love the idea that whatever category, let's say it's in health, I would try to get people in health that know their field, to get their advice, to get them involved. Interesting, this morning, I got an email from someone that used to be a drug addict and said to me, I would love to talk to you to tell you how I got out of drug addiction. And I thought, wow, I'm not an expert in that. Matter of fact, I feel like I'm totally lost in that area. And I told them, even though I'm busy, I'm going to give you a call because I need your expertise in that field. So there's so many fields in the city that we do. So my approach is just learn from those people, ask them to come and sit down and see how I could implement their ideas, what they've gone through. And I think in life and governance, we have to involve everyone, everyone that's an expertise. If you tell me, I don't know if you know, Joy, I'm a runner. I swim, I bike, I do triathlon. If you want to know about running, you could ask me because I've done it for the last 30 years. So that's in governance as well. I like to get information from people who are experts and help get their ideas and implement them.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
City service. I think we all, whatever department you are, I think all of them should know what the left is doing from the right, or the right to the left. If it's public works, I want to be able to call one person and they answering the question and knowing the other type of department that they're working under, and they all know it. So to me, we have to work together in every department and knowing what's going on. I had an incident just about a month ago that I had to call so many different departments and nobody knew what I was talking about. Finally, I found the right department and they were all sort of all connected. It's just that one did not know what the other one was doing. More transparency, knowing each other, what we're doing. We have great staff. I really believe our staff is great. We need more workers. We're short of workers. They're stressed. We want to make sure with the city of 600,000 almost that we have enough personnel to address different issues. So I can't say enough for our staff, but I know that we're short and I will try to improve that.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Quality of life is different to different people. To me, the quality of life makes sure we have programs in our city that promotes health. And to me, moving our body around, I don't know if you know, I love sports, pickleball. I did 12 courts and we have over 400 members in that area. And most of them are older people. It's improving their life. They're excited. They're getting to know people. Our rec centers, I want to improve that. That people are able to go swimming and do some kind of exercise. I think that's so important in every age. If you just think that we don't need rec centers, we don't need that kind of service, you're wrong. That's what brings people together. And quality of life, the quality of life depends on you too. What kind of quality do you want? Do you want a quality where you sit around and do nothing? Well, you're welcome to do that. Or you could get involved in the city and do so many things that keeps you healthy. And one thing is bike lanes. We're putting bike lanes everywhere. So if you are never ridden a bike, you could be a little bit, you could be safer and be careful and try that. So that's what we're doing. We're improving our city for a more healthier city.
It's 2026. The public record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council? And what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
Three words. Let me think. To describe myself, I want to be described as, and this comes from my heart, a caring person that cares for everyone. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you like me or not, I still want to be a caring person. I want to be a person that listens and understands that sometimes I am wrong, but I'm willing to listen and change. I want to be a person that people say she has integrity. That's from my heart. I try my best. I raise my voice like that. I raise my family to make sure you always look up for someone else and that life will be blessed if you always look after someone else and you do your best. So those are the three qualities: that I'm a caring person, that I understand even when I'm wrong. I'm easily, Joey, if you know me, I can easily say, please forgive me. I could easily say those words. And that's hard sometimes for a politician. I think politicians think they have to be showing that they're right all the time or they're strong. And I am strong. You know, you show your strength when you show your weakness too. That's when strength is shown. And that's what I want people to remember. Three words for council. I think I have a saying in my running store. It says, running together. And this is for my council, working together, knowing that we're all different. You know what's so neat about council? We have 15 of them there that we don't all have to agree all the time, because if we did, let's just get one council, pay one council, and that's it. We can all think differently, because when you think differently, but at the end, you listen to both sides, you agree, that's when council moves on. I don't want puppets on council that says, oh, I have to vote this because this council voted that way. I want to be free, Joey. I want to be free to vote the way I see it, but then understand that council, the majority wins. That's with life. If you realize that's what life is all about, we're all different. We all think different. And when we come together and make a decision, we'd be better for it. So I hope Hamilton comes together, city council, come together to understand that we are all different, but yet we can come together with kindness and with understanding why I thought one way and why you thought the other way and come together and do the final vote.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
Yes, I do. First of all, Joey, you're a great reporter. You've always shown kindness to me, even though sometimes, you know, you say on Twitter some things that are not favorable, but you've always been fair, and that's why I appreciate. But I want to say to the city of Hamilton, if I'm lucky to get elected to Ward 7, I promise not only I will work hard, but now that I have so much more understanding how the city works, I'm going to do so much better. They say it's like old wine. The longer it lasts, the better it tastes. So I know that I'm going to enjoy my next 4 years if I'm lucky enough to get elected. Thank you.
And how do people find out more about your platform and connect with you?
It's Esther_Pauls@live.com. And they could email me and I would be honored to answer all their questions.
This has been episode 129 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.